ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टतृषामेष पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय. दिस इज कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 1 entitled The History of the Life of Ajamil. Today we're doing text 19. Please repeat. Sakrin Manaha Krishna Padaravindayoho Nideshitam Tadgunaragi Yehi Iha Na Te Yamam Pashabhritash Cha Tadbhatan Swapne Api Pashyanti Hi Chirna Nishkritaha Sakrin Mana Krishna Padada Vindayor Niveshitam Tad Gunaragi Yairiha Nateyamam Pashu Pritascha Chadbhatan Swapne Vipashyanti Hichirna Nishkrita Sakrin Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo Niveshitam Tad Gunaragi Yairiha Nateyamam Pashabhritascha Chadbhatan Swapne Vipashyanti Hichirna Nishkritaha Sakrin Mana Krishna Padaravindayo Niveshitam Tad Gunaragi Yairiha Nateyamam Pashabhritascha Tadbhatan Swapne Vipashyanti Chirna Nishkritaha Sakrin Mana Krishna Padaravindayo Niveshitam Tad Gunaragi Yairiha Nateyamam Pashabhritascha Tadbhatan Swapne Vipashyanti Hichirna Nishkritaha
Sapnya Vipashyanti Hichirna Nishkritaha
sacred once only, manaha, the mind, Krishna Padaravindayoho, under the two lotus feet of Lord Krishna, niveshitam, completely surrendered, tad of Krishna, gunaragi, which is somewhat attached to the qualities, name, fame, and paraphernalia. Yehi, by whom? Iha, in this world. Na, not. Te, such persons. Yamam, Yamaraja, the superintendent of death. Pasha Pritaha, those who carry ropes to catch sinful persons. Cha, and Tat, his. Paran, order carriers. Swapne Api, even in dreams. Pashyanti, see, he, indeed. Chirna Nishkrataha, who have performed the right type of atonement. Translation. Although not having fully realized Krishna, persons who have even once surrendered completely unto his lotus feet and who have become attracted to his name, form, qualities, and pastimes are completely free of all sinful reactions, for they have thus accepted the true method of atonement. Even in dreams, such surrendered souls do not see Yamaraj or his order carriers, who are equipped with ropes to bind the sinful. Please repeat. Although not having fully realized Krishna, persons who have even once surrendered completely unto his lotus feet and who have become attracted to his name, form, qualities, and pastimes are completely free of all sinful reactions, for they have thus accepted the true method of atonement. Even in dreams, such surrendered souls do not see Yamaraj or his order carriers, who are equipped with ropes to bind the sinful. Beautiful verse. Srila Prabhupada has written his purport. Maybe before we read Srila Prabhupada's purport, it might be good to consider the context in which Srila Prabhupada himself received this verse from his acharyas. There's a few general things we can say, first of all, about the sixth canto, and particularly this Ajamilakhyan. First of all, what is the main topic that's described in the sixth canto? Who knows? Poshanam. What does poshanam mean? Palanam. Yeah, protection. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes, he defines the term actually in his commentary here in this passage, that poshanam means protection. Two kinds of protection. One is protection of those who have transgressed dharma, and the other one is protection of the devotees. They may or may not be the same, these two kinds. But if you've transgressed dharma, then you require protection because you're going to suffer reactions for your transgressions, each and every one of them. As a matter of fact, here in this chapter also, Shukdev Goswami himself, and also Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and even Srila Prabhupada has commented that a person who has performed sinful activities in particular has to perform atonement. Now, we've heard this already, and we've also heard that Shukdev Goswami was testing the determination of his disciple Parikshit Maharaj by saying this, because the first thing he offered is the atonement of material life, or material life and sinful activities in particular, was prayaschitta, karmakandiya considerations of performance of rituals that will purify the heart. That is, after all, the common denominator of every injunction that we find in the Vedic literature. There's an element of purification of the heart that has to go on. Yajna dana tapascheva pavanani manishinaha, Krishna says elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, that even the great souls don't give this up, because these things purify even great souls. Sacrifice, charity, austerity, the common denominator is purification of the heart. Now, Parikshit Maharaj was not satisfied with that answer, and he said, there has to be something higher than this, because it seems like bathing of an elephant. An elephant takes a nice bath, but then he goes on the ground and rolls around in the dust and throws it all over himself, and what's the point? Similarly, we see, maybe we've even done this. We commit some forbidden activity, and then we seek some sort of atonement. And, I mean, in the Roman Catholic faith, for example, a person who is committed some sin is expected to go and confess to the priest in the church, and then the priest will forgive him on God's behalf. This is the idea. But then, as Prabhupada points out many times, after Sunday morning, then by Sunday evening he's committed more sinful activities. What to speak of the rest of the week? So what is the point? And therefore Shukdev Goswami said, yes, you're right. Actually, the real way that one is purified in heart is by developing knowledge, because the basis of this repeated sinful tendency that we experience is ignorance only. So a person has to be awakened to knowledge. This is the second test that he's giving. They're not unbona fide instructions. They're perfectly valid instructions. But knowledge also is only hypothetical. Knowledge has no practical application. As soon as you try to apply knowledge, it's no longer knowledge, is it? What does it become? Yeah. It becomes, well, vigyan, okay. applied, you know, practical sort of applied theory, you could say. But it's an application. That again, brings us within the realm of karma. So you can't really get out. That's if you can stay on the platform of jnana altogether. But if the heart is impure, then you cannot even stay on that platform of jnana. This is why, when we come to the Srimad Bhagavatam class, 90% of what we hear is gone within 10 minutes after the class ends. That's why, because the heart is impure still. It takes some time. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Therefore, he comes to the real conclusion. It took him 15 verses to get there, but he says, Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayanaha akham dhunvanti karsyena niharam iva bhaskaraha. Only a rare person who has adopted complete, unalloyed devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful actions with no possibility that they will revive. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service, just as the sun immediately dissipates fog by his rays. So it's a gradual process, but it is the fastest process, and it's the safest process. And it is to highlight this conclusion that this verse is spoken. This is the concluding verse of the introduction to this chapter. After this, we begin the story of Ajamil proper. In the very next verse, in fact, he begins to tell about this. Atra chodaharantinam itihasam puratanam dutanam vishnu yamayoho samvadastam nibodhame In this regard, learned scholars and saintly persons described a very old historical incident involving a discussion between the orticaries of Lord Vishnu and those of Yamaraj. Please hear of this from me. And then he tells about the Kanyakubja Brahmin, Ajamil. We all know the story. So today's verse is significant. It sounds like another verse that we know, isn't it? Sakrit Mana Krishna Paradavinda Yor. What verse are we thinking of from the ninth canto? See, that's your hint. Savai Mana Krishna Paradavinda Yor. Vachansi Vaikuntha Gunanu Varane. So Sakrit, this is the significant thing. All the acharyas commenting on this verse are of the same opinion, that this verse is spoken only to show the extreme potency of devotional service and its super excellent preeminence, its superiority over karma and jnana. Jai Shri Shri Gaurnitai, Shri Shri Krishna Balaram, Shri Shri Lalita Vishaka, Radha Shyam Sundar Ki Jai. So, he says, Sakrit manaha tad gunaragi yair Krishna padaramindyo niveshitam iha. If in this world a person takes his mind and attaches it somehow or other to the lotus feet of Krishna, then what happens? Nate yamam pasha pratascha tad bhatan swapnepi pasyanti hi chirana nishkritaha. That person becomes as purified as if he had performed every atonement for every sinful activity. And what kind of mind are we talking about? There's an adjective here, tadgunaragi. There are two ways to interpret this adjective, but it refers to the mind. It's describing our mind. So one way to see it is that the mind is tadgunaragi, attached to the modes of the material world. We are impelled by the modes to act in all the ways that we do, especially the foolish ways that we act. So that's tadgunaragi mana. And someone might wonder that with a mind like that, to try to fix it on Krishna's lotus feet, how is it possible? Actually, the acharyas in their commentaries, especially the Jayadwaj Tirtha writing on this verse, he's made it very, very clear that this verse is spoken only to pacify the doubt of someone who thinks that how can even a conditioned soul fix his mind on Krishna and that's enough to purify him of all sinful reactions. This verse is only spoken to show that it is in fact so. So Jiva Goswami, Sridhar Swami, others, they have interpreted tadgunaragi not to be a mind attached to the modes of material nature, but as Prabhupada points out in his word-for-word synonyms, this is a devotee whose mind is attached somewhat to Krishna. Somewhat to Krishna. Not perfectly to Krishna. He represents this understanding in his translation, although not having fully realized Krishna. This Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur tells us, the mind doesn't have to be completely solid in bhakti. Even if you're struggling to follow the practices of bhakti, even if your mind is constantly wandering off the path, and you have to pull it back, as Krishna advises in chapter 6 of Bhagavad Gita, even then, if you do not chant the holy name, but just remember the holy name, and even in your dream is enough, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, you don't even have to chant with your tongue. If you just remember the holy name, even if you're asleep, that is enough, he says, to purify you of so many sinful reactions. This is the great wonder of bhakti. We were talking about Maya the other day and how Maya works. Maya works like a ghost. When one is vashibhuta, taken control of by a ghost, there's nothing you can do because the ghost has taken over your material body, so you can't move it anymore. The only thing you have is your awareness that you've lost control completely. At that time, if you take shelter of the holy name of Krishna, then that will solve your problem. That's not chanting with the tongue. It's not even conscious remembrance. Remembrance in a dreamlike state. That is enough. And in exactly the same way, we're all in the slumber of Maya, And we have no control over what we're doing. Have you noticed? Raise your hand if you're completely in control of everything that you do 24 hours a day. No, we're not. We're under the modes of material nature. We are impelled. Badrinarayan Maharaj says, he explains very in his unique way, that we're like a football. A football is sailing through the air, enjoying the wonderful freedom of flight until it gets to the other side. Then it hits the ground in a very hard way, and he's put again, and he kicked the other side back and forth like a football. This is us. This is our life. My life as a football. So Maya is doing like this to us. And our minds are attached to these modes, and there's nothing we can do. But even if we have rati abhasa, Jiva Goswami says, this tadguna ragi, in which we're attached to Krishna's guna. Tad means here Krishna. Krishna guna ragi. If we have a mind that is even slightly attached to Krishna, even in our sleep, if we think of Krishna, then he says that is enough. It is an abhas. Sometimes we call it shadow attachment, especially when we join Krishna consciousness in the beginning. Everybody has this experience. There's an initial euphoria, which is like that's the introductory offer. It's meant to encourage you to perform devotional service. After some time, Krishna starts removing different things, or rather our attachments start to kick in. And we experience that it's not so easy to persevere in devotional service. There are some tests that will definitely come. If they've not come just wait. They're coming. Zarur. They're on the way. So he says this, Tadgunaragi, if even in this neophyte state, if we fix our mind on Krishna even a little bit and have some attachment, or as Prabhupada says here, attraction is maybe a better word. We're not yet attached, but we have some attraction to Krishna. That's why we're all sitting in this room. That's why we took the trouble to come to Vrindavan. As most of the persons sitting here, I'm going to assume, are not born here. So this is our condition. So, nate yama, yamam, pasha pratashta tadpradan. You don't see Yamaraj, you don't see his constables who are holding their ropes, and you don't see his soldiers. Bhata means soldier, actually. Prabhupada has translated it here as, order carriers, or sometimes Prabhupada speaks of Yamaraj's constables. But they're like soldiers. Policemen also are a little bit like soldiers. They carry guns, they're a little scary sometimes, like this. So Pasha Pratap, why do they carry a rope? I found out one day in Mauritius. I was walking, taking a japa walk in Saint-Hubert. And very peaceful village, not much happening. So there's a dog walking around and he's just checking out the world and he's enjoying the nice sunny weather and the beautiful scenery and just wondering what he's going to do next. So I'm walking by and every once in a while a car is going by, you don't notice. But this time a truck went by, and before I could even understand what was happening, before the dog could understand what was happening, somebody appeared out of the back door of that truck with a huge net, and he swiped this dog up in the net, closed it up, and threw him in the truck before the dog even could figure out what was happening. Dog catcher. We don't have them anymore in America. But in Mauritius, they still have dog catchers. They're meant to go out and find stray dogs who are a nuisance. So that's what happened. And in this way exactly, Krishna bhoga vancha, Krishna bahir mukha bhoga vancha kare, maya tare, nikadastha maya tare japatiya dhare. We're just like that. We're thinking that we have all the facilities in the world, all the time in the world, all the freedom in the world, because we're sailing through the air and we can't remember the last time we were kicked. But then someday somebody's going to come along like the dog catcher and we're put into this net. Pasha Prita. At least at the time of death this will happen. They will catch you and say, no, no, sir. We have to discuss your karmic debits and your account. you've got some problems that we need to do to settle your account. So Shankaracharya said very nicely in another poem, very similarly to this verse. He says, Bhagavad Gita kinchit adhita Ganga jalalava karnika pita sakrita piyena urari sam arsha kriyate yasya yamena na charksha. Charksha means an interview, a discussion. You have to have an interview with Yamaraj, every one of us, to discuss what we've done and what we think we deserve as a result of what we've done. That must be a very uncomfortable conversation. Just think about it. Anyway, everybody is obliged to see Yamaraj, but the person who has studied Bhagavad Gita even a little bit, kinchit adhita, and the person who has taken a little bit of Ganga jal, Ganga water, on his tongue or on her tongue, Ganga jalalava karnika pita, just a drop, even part of a drop. And most importantly, this is the point of today's verse, sakridapi yena murari sam arsha. You've tried to completely surrender or worship murari even once. This is the point. If you're in that category, he says, you don't have to see Yamaraj. It's a very similar idea here. So, and Prabhupada is very liberal in his translation here and throughout the purport. He's talking about such surrendered souls. This is considered surrender. By whom? By Krishna. That is poshanam. Poshanam taranugraha. He maintains us. How? By anugraha, by his mercy. Back in the second canto, does everybody know this verse? Sthitir vaikuntha vijayaha poshanam tad anugraha. When we're talking about the different topics that are discussed, the 10 topics are discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this poshanam is mentioned there. And how is it defined there? It's a different definition than Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given here. What does poshanam tad anugraha mean? Anybody who knows a little Sanskrit should know. That poshanam is his mercy. It's Krishna's mercy. We actually deserve to be caught up in this net and thrown in the back of the truck and taken to the dog pound and maybe put to sleep. This is what we deserve. But because of poshanam, he is sustaining us spiritually. Even materially, he is sustaining us out of his causeless mercy. This is the wonderful, wonderful nature of Krishna. Therefore, Vallabhacharya, you've heard of this Pushti Marga. Rup Goswami mentions Pushti Marga, path of bhakti, which path of nourishment means, or path of protection, or palanam, as you said. It's hard to translate that word. But it means like a parent takes care of a child. This is the idea. Krishna takes care of us in this way. Pushti Marga is named after this principle of the maintenance by the Lord's mercy, or sustenance by the Lord's mercy. We're all sustained by that. So the point is, although we have to perform atonement for our sinful activities, we're actually instructed to do that. And that's the only reason that we have to do it, because we follow orders without questioning. There is no need. Because a person who is sponsored by Krishna and who is maintained by Krishna's mercy, he's already attained the result of his atonement. That's the whole point of this word here. Chirna nishkritaha means he's definitely performed all atonement in the right way. He's done everything. So here's the key. Although all the authorities, the acharyas and Shukdev Goswami and Srila Prabhupada and everyone, encourage performance of atonement, they do not encourage dependence on atonement. This is the fundamental difference. Because final resolution of our messed up lives and messed up sojourn within this material world can only be had through pure bhakti. Now, that pure bhakti is very rare. That's the point of the word kechit. Some people will perfect this, but everybody is given a chance. Do not squander this chance. Jabalagatana me tapana vyape. As long as you have this opportunity, do not squander it, because it may not last. There's no point in saying, Ashlishyava Pararatam Pinashtumam Adarshanat Marnamahatam Karotuva. He may kill me, that thing which is most dear to me, my asha, my hope against hope that I can reestablish my relationship with Krishna. What if he kills that? He can do that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. There's no meaning to that verse unless that possibility is there. So we have to not take advantage of this. And this is what brings us to Srila Prabhupada's purport. Let's read that now. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 18:66, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papi bhyo mokshishyami ma shucha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. This same principle is described here. Sakrin mana Krishna padaravinda yoho. If by studying Bhagavad Gita one decides to surrender to Krishna, he is immediately freed from all sinful reactions. It is also significant that Shukdev Goswami, having several times repeated the words Vasudeva Parayana and Narayana Parayana, finally says, Krishna Padaravinda Yoho. Srila Prabhupada is changing gears here, and he's adding something that has not been stated before by any of his predecessor acharyas. So please listen carefully. Krishna Padaravinda Yoho. Thus he indicates that Krishna is the origin of both Narayana and Vasudev, even though Narayana and Vasudev are not different from Krishna. Simply by surrendering to Krishna, one fully surrenders to all of his expansions, such as Narayana, Vasudev, and Govinda. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Matta parataram nanyat, there is no truth superior to me. There are many names and forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Krishna is the supreme form, Krishna's Du Bhagavan Swayam. Therefore, Krishna recommends to neophyte devotees that one should surrender unto him only, Mam Ekam. Because neophyte devotees cannot understand what the forms of Narayana, Vasudeva, and Govinda are, Krishna directly says, Mam Ekam. Herein, this is also supported by the words Krishna Padaravinda Yoho. Narayana does not speak personally, but Krishna or Vasudev does, as in Bhagavad Gita, for example. Therefore, to follow the direction of Bhagavad Gita means to surrender unto Krishna. And to surrender in this way is the highest perfection of Bhakti Yoga. Parikshit Maharaj had inquired from Shukdev Goswami how one can be saved from falling into various conditions of hellish life. In this verse, Shukdev Goswami answers that a soul who has surrendered to Krishna certainly cannot go to Naraka, or hellish existence. To say nothing of going there, even in his dreams he does not see Yamaraj or his order carriers who are able to take one there. In other words, if one wants to save himself from falling into Naraka, hellish life, he should fully surrender to Krishna. The word sakrit is significant because it indicates that if one sincerely surrenders to Krishna once, he is saved, even if by chance he falls down by committing sinful activities. Sometimes we meet people that say, I've given up smoking many times. So similarly, we've surrendered many times. This is the principle being discussed here. The word sakrit is significant because it indicates that if one sincerely surrenders to Krishna once, he is saved, even if by chance he falls down by committing sinful activities. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 9:30, Apichet suraracharo bhajate mamananyabhak sadhur eva samantavya samyagyavasito hisaha. He's ananyabhak. He doesn't participate in any other process. He's not invested in any other deity. His mind is Krishna Padaravindaya, focused on Krishna's two lotus feet. Krishna's feet, not Vishnu's feet. Krishna in particular. In Loku Bhagavatamritam, Srila Goswami has elaborated at length on the basis of Vishnu Purana why Krishna is superior to other forms of Vishnu, and how we can have salvation most easily at the hands of Lord Krishna, and not from even from other incarnations. But Ravana was killed by Ram, but he didn't go back to Godhead immediately. He took another birth as Shishupal. But when he was killed by Krishna, then he went back home, back to Godhead. This is explained at length. We don't have time to get into it. But the idea is that even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he's engaged in devotional service, he's to be considered saintly because he's properly situated. Properly situated here means the same thing as chirna nishkrita. He's already done his atonement. If one never for a moment forgets Krishna, he's safe, even if by chance he falls down by committing sinful acts. In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 2:40, the Lord also says, Neha vikramanasho sti pratyavayo navidyate swapam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato vayat. In this endeavor there is no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Elsewhere in the Gita, 6:40, the Lord says, Nahi kalyana kashchit durgatim tata gacchati. What does the word tata mean?
Son.
Grandson. Pota. Or son. Any, it's a term of affection. He's very personally assuring Arjuna, do not worry. Mashucha. You take shelter of me. If you've done good in this life, even if you've not perfect, you're okay. I'm sponsoring your soul. Not I am sponsoring, my devotee is sponsoring your soul. Yasya prasada, Bhagavat prasado. This is the idea. So, one who performs auspicious activity is never overcome by evil. The highest kalyan, or auspicious activity, is to surrender to Krishna. That is the only path by which to save oneself from falling down into hellish life. Srila Prabhupada Saraswati has confirmed this as follows. Kaivalyam narakayate tritashapura kasha pushpayate dudantendriya kala sarapa patalim prodkhata damshtayate vishampurna sukhayate vidhimahendra dishchakitayate yad karunya vikataksha vaibhavavatam tam gaurame vastumaha. The sinful actions of one who has surrendered unto Krishna are compared to a snake with its poison fangs removed. Prokatra dangshtrayate. Such a snake is no longer to be feared. Of course, one should not commit sinful activities on the strength of having surrendered to Krishna. However, even if one who has surrendered to Krishna happens to do something sinful because of his former habits, such sinful actions no longer have a destructive effect. Therefore, one should adhere to the lotus feet of Krishna very tightly and serve him under the direction of the spiritual master. Thus, in all conditions, one will be akutobhaya, free from fear. This term has been used in this passage already to describe devotional service, that it's akutobhaya, free from fear. So all the acharyas commenting on this verse, they've described that the bhakti path is the only really solid path for forever taking care of this tendency to try to evade Krishna or to try to exploit Krishna or his property. So we should not be discouraged, even though we sometimes fail to meet the highest ideal of devotional service as defined by Rupa Goswami, freed from karma, free from jnana, etc. Even a little bit of advancement at least saves us from sin. The first excellence of sadhana bhakti is that we are freed from so much ugliness. And the second excellence of sadhana bhakti only, not bhava or prema bhakti, but sadhana bhakti, is that we become infused with all auspiciousness. These things are described in the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. I'm going to end now, but I would like to just share with you a few verses that were written by the great poet Vilva Mangal Thakur that indicate the spirit of a devotee in this condition. First of all, he says, Aham karomi tvamapa karomi bahuni papani sadaiva Vishnu. Balo babu pankalayatya jasram punah punah kshalayate chamata. He said, again and again, I'm becoming muddied with so many sinful activities. I'm constantly performing sins, dear Lord Vishnu. But I'm just like a baby. Baby is creating a mess for the mother all day long. But the mother doesn't mind that. The mother cleans up the baby anyway. Puna puna kshalayate cha mata. And he may be committing continual sinful activities inadvertently, not deliberately. This is the important pivot. If we are deliberately committing sins, then we become aparadhis. And aparadha is the fastest way to kill your devotional service. So we have to be very careful about that. But it's understood that although we're bumbling and stumbling at every step in our attempts to perform something that is far beyond us, pure devotional service, the Lord has patience with us, and the devotee's mercy will carry us. Poshnam taranugraha. He says, furthermore, he prays, Swagochare charya kim madiyam apikshase gama bhate vrajantim yad gopanatha kriyate kadachit nachetasapi tvayavritta bhangaha. He says, please herd my senses into your pasture. Pasture. Why pasture? What is the word for senses? Go. What does go mean? Cow. So he's using a pun on the word go. He says, take my go and herd them into your pasture, please. He says, certainly you can see that these go are wandering off the path. He said, now, yet gopanatha kriyate kadachan. Who could imagine? Who could even imagine that the person who is worshipped by all the cowherds would ever have a lapse of duty and lose a single cow? You get it? This is what he says. And finally he says, Krishna answers to reassure the devotee. He says, Peshaye hamahitani hasaravan saravamit yupadishanivaloke padajanukara peshtakarisham prangane kamabibala upase. He says, this extraordinary child is taking cow dung in his hands and on his knees and with his feet, and he's crushing the cow dung. He's squishing this cow dung into the earth. And he says, it's as if to reassure those of us suffering in humankind that in this way I crush all of your enemies. In this way I crush all of Ahitani Hasarvan. All those who would harm you, this is how I deal with them. You don't have to worry. These are just a few verses. Now finally, Rupa Goswami has said in Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu, we mentioned hope against hope a few moments ago. Anybody know the verse that he uses to illustrate Asha Bandha? Na prema shravanari bhakti raviva yogota va vaishnavo jnanam va shubha karma va kiyadoho sajjati rapyastiva hinarthathika sadhake tvaitathapya chedya mula sati he gopi jananath. Gopi jana vallabhavyatayate ha ha madashaiva mam. I don't have any prema. I'm not even attached really to the process of developing that prema. I've never performed any pious activities. I've not practiced yoga. I don't have any knowledge. I've got no assets that I might elevate myself by my own power. Therefore, I simply pray and hope to you, hope against hope, I pray that you can do something to elevate me because I have no other shelter in this world. This is the attitude of a devotee. He prays to Krishna like this. Ai nanda taraja kinkaram pitadam mam vishame bhavam budhau kripayat tava pada pankajas tidatudi sadrisham vishantaya. This is the attitude with which we should chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. O Nanda Tanuja, son of Ananda Maharaj, I'm your eternal servitor, but somehow I've fallen into this ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up and consider me, place me as an atom at your lotus feet. Atom at your lotus feet means a speck of dust at your lotus feet. Let me become among your devotees. And let me chant the holy name in that way. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Shubha Krishna.
What
You want me to explain more about Ashla Shiva Pada the Tamkanashtaman?
He said that they were not having any need for this.
Here's the thing. One saintly person once said, if you want peace, you worship Lakshmi Narayana. If you want bliss, you worship Radha Krishna. The implication is that you may not have bliss all the time if you're worshiping Krishna. We're taking shelter of Krishna because he's the supreme and the original form. And Krishna is more lovable than anyone else. I don't think here in Vrindavan you'll find much argument about that. But the downside is that Krishna has no rules. And this you can find out by asking any of the gopis. Practically speaking, at least in the Goswami's literature, they hardly have a nice thing to say about Krishna, the gopis, because they suffer so much because of his actions. So if we're to tread this bhakti path, then, and especially if we're trying to follow in the footsteps of the gopis, we have to know what we're in for. He may kill us. He may kill that which is most dear to us. He may not give us what we pray for, even though we ardently worship him. He may not do it. We have to be ready for that. Srimati Radharani this is her sentiment. She is the one who spoke this verse. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is simply quoting her or speaking in her voice. But because of her exhaustive experience with Krishna, this was her conclusion. I cannot get him out of my mind. I love him no matter what he does to me, but this is how he is. Are you sure you want to deal with that? You can think it over. Don't think too much. Just stay in good association and continue to chant. But the point is that sometimes it's difficult. Even great devotees, especially great devotees, they're tested. Because the mother teaches the daughter-in-law by teaching the daughter. Who else can Krishna treat so harshly except for those that are the most close? They're the most surrendered. We have to learn from them. And we have actually embraced their ideal without any qualification. Yes, I surrender to that. That's why we need to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Because we're so full of conditions and so full of expectations that are wrong. We don't have a clue as to what bhakti is. Therefore, Jiva Goswami has said, this verse is referring to the devotee